You know, it seems like when we missed a week with the weather, like last week, it seems like we've been off a month, doesn't it? It sure does to me. And I sit there, been working on the class this week, and I thought, did I teach that? So, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. We're going to make it through most of 14. That's my goal tonight, this morning. But just to keep you caught up. You know, in chapter 12 of Revelation, we have a picture of Jesus from his resurrection being caught up to the throne of God. And you remember there was this one, he's called Satan, they call him the dragon, but he tells us in chapter 12 who he is. He's Satan. And what was his purpose? He wanted to devour this child, being Jesus Christ. Did he get it? No. What happened to Jesus? He was caught up to heaven with God, now sits on the throne. He is now in a position of rule and all authority. And as a result of that, the devil found there was no room found for him to be around God anymore. We look briefly back at one class. We look back at the devil, how he would stand before God and he would accuse people. Because prior to the death of Jesus, that when God would not punish someone for their wrong, he would accuse them. You can't be honest and right. You can't be righteous and let them off. But God wouldn't let them off. He was waiting for the time of Jesus to die. And the blood of Jesus cleansed, and as a result of that, Satan was no longer allowed into the presence of God to accuse anybody. Salvation has come. So, that left Satan one other tool. He took off to try to destroy any people that are tied to God. Any people on earth. And he would curse the ones in heaven that had already made it. And so as he began his attack, in chapter 13, there was a beast that came up out of the sea. We called it the sea beast. And what about that sea beast? It had 7 heads, 10 horns, the diadems on his heads. Or on his horns, on him. But he looked very familiar, like Satan, the dragon. And so, this sea beast comes up. And what the sea beast does is that, well, let's just read it. Verse 7 of chapter 13. It was also given to him, that's the sea beast, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. There was two things he was given. The sea beast. One, he was given the power over who? Nations, tribes. So we get a hint of who he is. He's going to be someone in authority. And then who else was he over? The saints. Can you imagine God allowing the saints to be killed? But it was all part of the plan of what God had in mind. What if today we had been reading something and we found out here very shortly, there's going to come such a catastrophe on this earth, and there may be a lot of us killed. What would you think to hear that? Sometimes maybe we're too flippant about God. Oh, I believe in God. Oh, I go to church. I want to tell you what. you would have to have a sincere faith in the Lord to know this dragon, this Satan, this sea beast has been given the authority to overcome the saints, to make war with them. And they're going to die. And Jesus told them back in chapter 6, those under the altar, that there's going to have to be some more of your brethren die. This was a massive undertaking and hard to hear. But what would it teach you? We will find out if you're really sincere about the Lord or not. Beg pardon?
Keep your faith.
You gotta have a sincere faith. There was an earth beast. He comes up out of the earth. What was his position? Remember what the earth beast was for? I hear mumbling. Yes. All right. To acknowledge, to make powerful the sea beast is what you said. Yes. And so he made an image to the sea beast. He gave a voice to the image. And he wanted everyone to do what? Worship that sea beast. And if you didn't worship, what happened? You're killed. And then on top of that, there had to be a mark, the name that's put on individuals to buy or sell. I mean, Satan has given his authority to the sea beast, and the sea beast has the authority, gave his authority to the land beast, earth beast. And they're all in cahoots because they want to destroy anything tied to God. And so if you didn't get the mark of his name or his number, you couldn't buy, you couldn't sell. I mean, we're making it hard. Maybe they didn't catch you not worshiping the idol, so you live. But then you go to the market to buy food. Where's your mark? I don't have one. You're eliminated. What's going to happen to your family? You're going to starve to death. What would be the great temptation? Take the mark. Surely God would understand. I mean, God didn't put us here to let us suffer. He wouldn't let it. He promises to take care of all of our needs. You could see the reasoning, and I can hear that in a lot of brethren. They start reasoning through things. You don't keep God who God is, and God's saying ahead of time, this is what's coming. You need to be aware of that. And so you can't buy, you can't sell. Last week, I gave out a sheet. If you didn't get one, I'm going to leave them up here for you. You want to come get one. But if you look at chapter 13, verse 17 and 18, and I'll refer back to the sheet. Well, let's just look. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except for the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name, verse 18. Here is wisdom. You want to figure this out. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Here's understanding. What could you do? My version says calculate. Other versions say count. You can calculate. What does it mean to calculate? You can figure it out. It's not hidden. And one of the things I had said in the class was that this was something common to them. It's not common to us. And that's why when I handed out the paper, I gave you over here on the right side, these are all the Greek alphabet. And if you'll notice, on the Greek alphabet, each letter of the Greek alphabet corresponds to a value, to a number. And so you can take the number, or the value, excuse me, from the Greek letter, take someone's name, and what I did, I put over here the name Jesus. I wrote his name in Greek above. You take each letter, find the corresponding letter, and the power, the value, put it down. When you get through with each letter of his name, you will see the number. For Jesus, what was it? 888. And when we talk about, you know, someone asked about the number 8, you know, what does the number 8 mean? To the Jew, its value meant a new beginning. A new beginning. 7, the number 7, was the number of completeness. So they all had these values. And then the one thing I had above it, I had another name, and it was the imperial name of Domitian. He's going to come up in chapter 17. So you can calculate his name. You can count it. Each letter, each value, and his name will come out. 666. So it's that simple. Now, here you heard this. And you know you can't buy or sell. You know you're going to be killed one way or the other. How disheartening would this be for the saints? How disheartening would it be for you? Are you going to stand much of a chance? Doesn't look like it, does it? Well, you know what chapter 14 is about? There's hope. He has to bring in some hope at the bleakest time coming on the saints. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. Now I want you to look here beginning. Where was the Lamb standing? He's standing on Mount Zion. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. So we got the dragon, Satan, standing on the seashore. But we got Jesus standing on Mount Zion. What does Mount Zion represent? You know, heaven, that's a good thing. Mount Zion, especially speaking of the Old Testament, Mount Zion is where God's name dwelt. It was on the hill of Jerusalem. It was where everyone was to look for help, because that's where the temple resided. It was where the very place that God said salvation will come from this mountain. You go back and you read places like Psalm 14:7. Mount Zion is where salvation will come from. You go back and read Psalm chapter 2 and verse 6. He says, I've installed my king, God speaking. I've installed my king on Mount Zion, speaking of Jesus. Well, you're hearing all this bad news and all this thing of it's not going to look well for the saints. What if you look to Jesus? What would you find? There could be some help. There could be some comfort. And then notice he says here in verse 1, then I looked and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion. And with him, 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. There's 144,000 standing with Jesus. Remember who they are? Back in chapter 7? They were the Jews that had come to Christ, that were saved. And now, here's Jesus standing on Mount Zion, and with him, surrounded with him, are these 144,000 Jews. There's hope. It's not over if you die. And on top of that, what about his name and the name of the Father? It was written on their foreheads. All these that were saved, they have his name. By the way, who is the beast trying to get their name, trying to put their name on the people? He's putting his name. That if you didn't have his name, what do you do? You die. Jesus said, here's the saved out of the Jews. And my name is on their forehead in my Father's name. Would that help? Would that encourage? Which name do you want? Do you want the mark? Or do you want the name of Jesus and God? Do you want to die and be killed? Or do you want to live eternally with Jesus? So he's got to give some hope through all of this. Look at verse 2. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters, like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on harps. That'd be a lot of noise. Verse 3. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. So what's going on? They're worshiping that, and that's Christ, yes. And you know, in this song, they're singing a new song. Look at the rest of verse 3. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. Who's the only one that could learn this new song? The 144, the ones tied to God. Guess who's excluded? Everybody else that's outside. Who was the beast trying to exclude? Yeah, he was going to exclude the saints. He's after them because he got his authority from the dragon, from Satan. So we're going to exclude them. Well, Jesus said, I'm including them. They're with me. And they learned my song, this new song. And no one else on the earth can learn it. Would you want to be a part of that? Here's the point. Sometimes in our lives, things get really dark. They look dark. Things can look hopeless. What do you need to learn? There's hope. At the darkest hour, where do you need to look? Complain? Tell everyone your troubles? God's got it. We need to look here, look into heaven. If heaven is really our home, we sing the song a lot of times, this world is not my home. You know what we act like? This is our home. Jesus said, look at me. I brought these 144,000 saved and with me. The name of my Father and myself is on them. And they're singing this new song. And no one else can sing it. They get excluded. Only those who are part of the saints. Look at verse 4. So Talk about these four. Now we're talking about the 144,000. These are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they've kept themselves chaste. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These have been purchased from among men as the first fruits of God to the Lamb. See, the 144,000 Jews, the Jews were the first fruits to God. They go to the Gentiles first. They went to the Jews first. But you know what they are when it talks about they've not been defiled with women? We're talking about holiness. They're holy by the blood of the Lamb. They kept themselves chaste by the blood of the Lamb. They follow the Lamb wherever He goes. They're listed to Jesus, you know, and they've been purchased. Verse 5. And no lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless. So in verse 4 and 5, if you could use one word to say who the saints are, what would it be? Holy. Pure. That's what the blood of Jesus does to us. And that should reflect back to us to being the same thing in the presence of this earth. We should be a holy people. We are a blameless people. But this 144,000, they were the first fruits that were purchased by the blood of the Lamb. And they stand pure and holy before God. Now, if you heard that, and you're a Gentile, what might you be thinking? Jews made it. What about us? Verse 6. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, and to every nation, and tribe, and tongue, and people. Oh my. What's being preached? The gospel. This angel that's flying. And there's this eternal gospel, verse 7. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God, and give Him glory, because the hour of His judgment has come. Worship Him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs of water." What is the message from this angel? Through this gospel. You better fear God. You better make absolutely certain that you give God the glory. You better make absolutely certain to understand there is a judgment coming right now. And you need to be found on the right side. And we're talking about God the Creator. Everything that's going on there. Now, verse 6 and 7. If you want to know, if you want to know discussion, chapter 15 and 16 are going to discuss this statement made by this angel. Those two chapters and these two verses will be discussed in chapter 15 and 16. So, here's these 144,000 standing with Jesus before God. And now, we have the gospel being preached where? To the Gentile. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and every people found there in verse 6. So, guess what's coming out of that? Here's the Gentiles' response to it. Look at verse 8 here. And another angel, a second one followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of her passion, of her immorality." You better fear God, worship Him. There is a judgment coming. And what is the judgment statement? See, we don't know who Babylon the Great is yet. But we're about to see very soon. Fallen is Babylon the Great. That's going to be discussed in chapter 17 and chapter 18. These are like what you would see in a billboard sign. As this angel speaks out, guess what? There's this gospel preached, and there's going to be a lot of Gentile that's going to respond to it. And it's going to be good news, because you better fear God, you better listen to Him. The good came out of that. There's the flash. And now, there's a judgment. And in this judgment, Babylon the Great has fallen. Notice he speaks of it in past tense. He doesn't say it's going to fall. When this book is written, he's speaking it past tense because in God's face, in God's eyes, in God's mind, it's already happened. It's done. And so he makes this claim that Babylon the Great has fallen. And why is the fall of Babylon the Great? She's made the nations drunk. She's made the nations drunk with the passions of her immorality. It's over for her. Look at verse 9. Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives a mark on his forehead or his hand," what's the warning? Who do you think this warning is directed to? Directed to the saints. You're going to see that. If anyone receives the mark, if anyone worships the beast, verse 10, he will also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. What is the warning? You think you might give in because your family's starving? You think no one notices that you could do something privately and secretly? The warning is what? You're going to get the wrath of God full, nothing diluted. And you're going to be pelted, tormented with fire and brimstone. It's going to be in the presence of the angels and the presence of the Lamb. You don't want to stay with Jesus. You don't want to look faithful to Jesus. You want to do all of your questioning and, well, surely God wouldn't do that. Surely God says, you better fear me and worship me. Or there's going to be an outcome, doom for the beast. Well, verse 11. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Oh, what does that tell you? I mean, is this thing serious? We need to take our lives more serious. We need to take our lives more serious in Christ. Well, these verses, these three verses, 9, 10, and 11, he's going to discuss those in chapters 19 and 20. Again, flash. You receive the mark of the beast? It's coming. There's coming to see what's going to really happen to those who do such. Let's keep moving. Look at verse 12. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. Stop just a minute. If this is going to be this intense, this painful, this eternal destruction, how are you going to persevere? Keep the commandments of God and make sure your faith resides only in Jesus. Nowhere else. These aren't just little teachings. Even though Revelation has passed, does it still apply in some application to us today? How bad might it get in this world today? How bad might it get in our nation? How you gonna make it? We still gotta hold to the commandments of God. We still gotta keep our faith in Jesus too. Verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Holy Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with him. Oh, who are the blessed? Those who die in the Lord. They'll be blessed. Here you are. You know that you have to have the mark. You know you have to worship the beast. God says you better fear me. You better not fear that beast. That beast does not stand for eternity. I do. And so if you end up having to lose your life on earth, are you dead? No. No, you're not. Were those 144,000 standing with Jesus, were they blessed for losing their lives? Absolutely. So guess what happens? You want to rest? You know, sometimes things get bad, they go along for quite a while, and we get thinking, is there not going to be any relief? Is it? There's always relief coming. They can rest from their labors, and you know what? Their deeds will follow. You're going to follow after them. Well, that's a good question. There's only two places to die. You can die in the Lord, or you can die with the world. There's only two places. That's the only two choices there are. And you and I have got to have some faith to do the right thing. Continue. Verse 14. Well, I can't. We can't make it. I'm going to say 14 through 20. Next week we'll go through that and we'll hit all of 15. What did you learn from all of this? Yes. Okay, and help me understand. I want to make sure I understand your question before I answer it. You're wanting to know what it would be for us, like if this was us today, the mark? Yeah, okay, yeah. It's not literal. He's using it to explain, here's the spiritual connotation There would be whatever the mark was. We don't know. We don't know what it is. They would. And that's why he has to give, you can calculate the number of the name of the beast. Let's get his number. And it comes out to 666. So whenever they're living, and you see the number of this beast, he's a ruler of some kind, and comes up to 666, that's the fella. That's the one that's going to bring all of this into play. I don't know what any more than that is, really. I couldn't tell you. But you know what? He would not have told them to calculate the number of his name, which tells me they may not be given a literal branding or something like, maybe they were. Maybe they were given a stone. Maybe that something, some way, they were marked to be part. Yes, yes, yeah, either one. Yes, yes. And that's why he's trying to comfort everybody. He got to mark the beast and his name calculated. It's not difficult. Just calculate his name and you'll find out that's the fella. Well, like I said, we at chapter 17, he's going to define it out. And I'll have another paper to hand out to go ahead and explain that. Any other questions or comments? We're making progress. I'm glad you're so patient. Very patient. All right. We'll start 14 halfway through next week. Thank you.